Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled, With My Whole Heart. With the changing of the calendar and the start of a new year, many people resolve to change things about themselves that they're not happy with. Some focus on their weight and others on their physical appearance, while some resolve to be more committed to their daily Bible reading. My word to anyone wanting to see true change in their spiritual life is to pursue God with your whole heart, much as David wrote in the 119th Psalm, which involves reading and meditating in God's word. When we seek God with our whole heart, God will respond and the results will be truly life-changing. I hope that you'll be blessed by this word. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. Father, we stir up a hunger within us for your word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word, as it goes inside of us, it changes us. Father, that we become different people. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this change. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And I pray this evening, the Holy Ghost, that you're able to unveil more of the Word of God to us so that we're able to walk in the fullness of it. In Jesus' name. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that there's such a hunger within us for your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are at the beginning of a new year. And, you know, a lot of times at the beginning of a new year, people are making all kind of commitments. A lot of them want to lose weight. New Year's resolutions. They want to join a fitness gym, and I heard someone talking about it here recently. They said that this time of the year, the gyms make all of their money for the rest of the year, and I think that's probably the case. Why is it that people begin the new year with making these kind of commitments, and then it seems like they're unable to fulfill these commitments? Now, not everyone. There's a few of them that, you know, they want to lose weight and they lose, you know, about the size of another person in some cases. And I thank God for people that are able to be successful with their commitments. But, you know, so often the commitments fall by the wayside. And, you know, it's interesting. Just this morning, I was at our office, and one of the other gentlemen that works there, he was commenting to me about how he had set up a schedule, kind of a regiment for his time with the Lord each day. And, you know, reading his Bible and praying. And he made an interesting statement. He said that, you know, he seems like he'll start out the new year like this, and then somewhere he kind of slides off track. And you know, it was an interesting statement, because I have a feeling that is one of the things that a lot of people share, not just this guy. A lot of people share in that. They might make a commitment to the Lord that they're going to spend more time in their Bible. They're going to spend more time in prayer. And lo and behold, March comes around, April comes around, and they forgot all about their commitment. Well, you know, a lot of times it begins with good intentions. You know, people want to do the right thing. And yet, when the rubber meets the road, things come up. They lose sight of what their original goals. And what I want to do this evening is I want to look at the Word of God, and I want to see how is it that we can stir up a hunger within us for God. We can stir something up on the inside of us, that an unquenchable desire for His Word. Because, you know, if you're really hungry for the things of God, God is not going to let you go unsatisfied. He's going to meet you wherever you at the whatever point you're willing to meet Him. And there's verses we want to look at here at the beginning that kind of allude to that. One area that we're heading toward is in the book of Psalms. And it's actually the longest chapter in the whole Bible. It's the 119th Psalm. You might say, well, Mark, why are we going there? I have yet to find one chapter that talks so much about a person's hunger for the Word, the person's desire for the Word of God, and for what the Word of God will do on the inside of a person. I've yet to find one. It's amazing the statements that you find in the 119th Psalm. And so, why do we want to look at it? Because some of the comments that's made there that David makes, you can sense that place in his heart where this is coming from. It's like this deep yearning for God. And I read it and I look at it and I think to myself, do I have this same kind of yearning for God? And if I don't, if I've allowed my wood to get a little wet or you know, however you want to say it, then that's on me. It's not on God. You know, there's a verse that says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, it says, "And you shall seek me and find me." Now catch these last few words. When you shall search for me with all of your heart. Boy, those last few words there. With all of your heart. See, this isn't something that you just casually do. And, you know, maybe at some point in your life, in your Christian walk with the Lord, maybe there was such an intensity there. And I think that for the most part, that the Christian life is kind of like this. And as my hand is going up and down, and that there's peaks, but then there's also times when maybe you don't feel emotionally like you're sitting on that peak any longer, but maybe you feel emotionally kind of like you're on a downswing. We don't go by our feelings, first of all. And even if you are sensing inside that intensity isn't there, you know, the thing to do is to you draw near to Him. And here's a verse that goes right along with that statement. It's in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Well, I tell you what, I have used that verse over the years. At times when I felt like, as far, and I say felt like, in my emotions, in the natural part of me, I felt at times as if God was maybe a million miles away from me. He's not. You know, it says that I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. That's what God says to us, that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us. So no matter how you might feel at any given time, God's right there with us. And generally speaking, He's simply waiting for us to acknowledge Him. Isn't that something? That the God of the universe, the God who created everything that we see, that He will wait for us to acknowledge Him. That He doesn't force Himself on us. He doesn't just barge right into our life and take over the central place of attention in our life. He doesn't do that. He doesn't force His way in and say, "Mark, I'm God, and you are going to give me all of your attention." He doesn't do that. And if he's going to get my attention, it's because I gave it to Him. Get a hold of that. That's important. He's not going to force Himself on us. He's going to wait. Now, at times, again, even when you're doing everything you can to turn your attention to God, don't have the idea that because you've done that you're going to feel something in the natural. Not the case. See, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say God is a natural. It says God is a spirit. And here is where many people have their greatest struggle as far as relating to God, because they want to relate to Him as if He is natural, in this natural world. And if they don't feel something, if they don't sense something, then they don't think He's there with them. And that is not the case. Hear what I'm saying. God said, "I will never leave you. I will never." And that word never, He means never. "I'll never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." He's with us all the time, waiting for us to do what? To simply acknowledge Him. Father, I acknowledge You. Father, I thank You so much for being partaker of my life with me. I thank You for sharing Your life with me, and I share my life with You. Thank You, God. Thank You. You see, some people have the idea, and I have to tell you that I struggle with this myself. Having the idea that God is only interested in us spending time with Him when we can sit down and be completely alone with Him, and none of the rest of the world it has any kind of an influence on us during that time. So yeah, I struggle with that, because I had been around people before that had the idea that that's the only way that you really, truly, truly spend time with God. And, you know, I'm finding out for myself right now that if I don't acknowledge God throughout my day, and I only wait for those special moments of alone time with Him, then I am missing out on so much opportunity, so many opportunities to just share my life with God. Because I have this mental idea that can only happen within these parameters when I'm, here at my house, sitting in my chair, alone with Him. Nobody else is talking to me. Now this is truly spending time with God. Where do we ever get this impression? It's not the case. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those times, of course. But we also need to recognize that God doesn't expect us to just stop our life because he knows the demands that are on us each day. And all he would love to do is just share in our life with us. And I'm preaching this to myself as well as anybody else, because I got to be honest with you, I have that same idea that a lot of other people have, that I have to be quiet and I have to be in a chair at home and all the lights are out or whatever, and now I can talk to God and we can really, really have good communion. Well, I'm not saying that you can't. Certainly you can. But there's so many opportunities throughout your day if you'll just look for them. Ask the Holy Ghost to show you these times where you're able to, you know, just acknowledge God throughout your day. Acknowledge his presence. Talk to him like he is a real person. And again, I am just as guilty as anybody else of forgetting this most simple thing. And I get caught up in that idea, and I really believe it's just a religious, and I say that in a negative way, just a religious idea that we have to hold up alone and quiet, and then that's spending time with God. No, we spend time with God as we go throughout our day and we acknowledge him. Praise God. So let me share another verse with you. This one right here, I just feel like what a good verse to add in here. And it's Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, to me, delighting myself in the Lord is that fellowship, that acknowledging him, delighting myself in the Lord, including him in my day, and him giving me the desires of my heart. You know, truly, when you and God are fellowshipping with each other, and there's the word koinonia comes to mind, which talks about the relationship that with the Holy Spirit, that there's a unity, there's a oneness there with God. When we have that, our desires are going to line up with his desires. So him giving us the desires of our heart isn't necessarily, it's not saying, oh, you know, he's going to fulfill all of your carnal desires. No. When we have that fellowship time with him, when we're one with him, it is affecting our want, our desire, what we hunger for, what we're desirous of. So he's going to be giving us the desires of our heart because he can. Because our desires are lining up with his desires for us. Glory to God. Isn't that good? You see, what a lot of people want to do is they want to make decisions. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to read my Bible, and then I'm not against it. Don't misunderstand. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a chapter a day for this whole next year. Okay, and nothing wrong. Good, very good. But how about this? Instead of making this hard and fast decision to do something, how about this? How about we spend time with Jesus until a desire to do something, a desire wells up within us, and we follow that desire instead of trying to make these decisions, these New Year's resolutions, just simply out of sheer willpower. And that's what most of these things are, most of these resolutions. If you really boil it all down, what you find out is it was made out of a sheer willpower. So what happens is anything like that in life for a human being, any kind of a decision that's only powered, if you can allow me to use that word, strengthened through our willpower, the problem with it is when something else comes along that exceeds our willpower and gets us off course, we follow that thing. And that's why people like my friend today, who was talking about, you know, he does it good and then he kind of wavers off course. Why is it? It's because these decisions, these resolutions, this idea, I'm going to do this, it's made out of our willpower, which is part of our soul. Whereas if we would do what it says in Psalm 37 and delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart because our desires are lining up with His desires for us. And our want to is changing. So then we don't have to sit down and be so regimented about our time with the Lord, because as we sow good seeds into the field of simply spending time with Him throughout our day, the desire to do this more often and more frequently is beginning to develop within us, and we're wanting to do this instead of having to mechanically force ourselves into doing this. You see the difference? It's much better if our desire is lining up with His desire for us. And how does that happen? We delight ourselves in the Lord. It's kind of like this. Instead of sitting down and drawing up this, you know, these papers and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to, you know, read my Bible, read a chapter a day. I'm going to go through the whole Bible. Nothing at all wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But when you go about it like that, March comes, April comes, and chances are you're not going to be continuing to do what you had resolved in your heart to do at the beginning. How about this? How about let's look what we're told in the 119th Psalm, and let's do that. And let's see our desire change, our want to. We won't have to mechanically tell ourselves, force ourselves into some regimented schedule. No, we will begin to see a lifestyle. How about that? A lifestyle of spending time with Him, of loving Him, of spending time in His Word. And as we do that, my goodness, this chapter will tell us great things will happen if we will live that way. So let's get into the 119th Psalm here. We're looking at a chapter here that, you know, it consists of 176 verses. We're not going to go verse for verse. We're going to look, kind of hit some of the high points through this chapter. But what I want to do is I want to kind of draw your attention to certain verses and see a little bit of a theme developing throughout this chapter. And it starts off here, even in the first and second verses, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Now, what I'm about to read is one of those statements that's going to be repeated and repeated throughout this whole psalm. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. What did we read here in Jeremiah 29:13? And you shall seek me and find me when what? When you shall search for me with all of your heart. See, right there, there's an attitude that it's more than just, I'm going to sit down and mechanically set this schedule for reading my Bible. Okay? This idea right here of finding God when you search for him with all of your heart. With all of your heart. You know, you have to get a picture of somebody that, you know, that is unwilling to be denied, unwilling to stop their pursuit of God. That's the picture that's being painted. And so when it says here, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You know, that's, as I look back when I was younger, just newly converted in the Lord, age 25. Well, that described me. And I don't say that boasting in any way. It just described my life, how I lived with the Lord, for the Lord, with him, talking with him, communing with him. You know, there was a desire, a hunger, and I was searching with all of my heart. And I have to say, throughout the years, the intensity may have increased at times and leveled off at other times and may not have been as strong at other times. But I have to say overall, that there's still a desire in my heart for the things of God, that it's not divided with, you know, do I want the things of this world? Am I hungry? Am I going after the things of, you know, more money or the nice cars? It's funny. I was driving home this evening and there was one of a new car that kind of catches my eye every once in a while, and one drove by me and I looked at it and I don't know, there was just something on the inside of me. It's like I could appreciate that car, but there wasn't a driving something that I have to have that car. It wasn't that way at all. Now, when I was younger, it was more of a driving thing there, but it's not there anymore. It's like in my life, there are things that have, I've been able to put things in perspective. And the things that are really important, those are the things of God. Not having the nicest car, and there's nothing wrong with nice cars or nice things. But what's really important to me is my relationship with the Lord. That's much more important than what I drive down the street. How do you get that way? It's because you feed that part of you, the spirit man. And what are you going to feed that part of you? The Word of God. And that's the whole point of this 119th Psalm. Where it says here, blessed in the verse 2, are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That seeking him with the whole heart, the word itself has everything to do with that. Seeking him with your whole heart, a huge part of that is your time in the Word, your time being spent reading His Word, meditating in His Word. And it says that right in this chapter. It talks and uses that very same idea, meditating, looking at His Word, fellowshipping with Him. This will cause that desire to well up inside of you. It's like, you know, if you want onions in your garden, what are you going to do? You're going to sow onions and you'll reap onions. If you want more, I don't want to say more of God, but if you want a richer fellowship with Him, if you want that richness of being with Him and communing with Him, the place to go is His Word, and allowing this Word to get inside of you, to create. The more that it goes in, the more it's going to create more of a hunger for more of His Word. You know, there was a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. He lived years ago. A British man, was a minister, a very well-known minister. Everywhere he went, he carried his Bible with him. And see, today with cell phones, you can have your Bible on your cell phone carried everywhere you go. There really is no excuse anymore for not spending time in your Bible. And he would just sit down before he'd eat. He'd read a scripture, and he'd read the Bible throughout his day. And does that have an effect on you? Most certainly it does. Because what you're doing is you're changing the way you think, as well as cultivating this hunger and this desire for the things of God. So it affects you in so many different ways. So in this man, Wigglesworth, he would read, he wouldn't spend time with the things that were like important in the world. He spent time in the Word of God, because that was where the results were going to, he was going to see the results in his life. All right, let's go on. Let's look at some verses here in the 119th Psalm. Let's go down to verse 10. And again, look at the words here. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. With thy whole heart. The attitude, the idea that you get when you hear those kind of words, is someone that's just, they've thrown all restraint away, and they have gone after the things of God with everything that's inside of them. With my whole heart, God, with my whole heart. I'm not holding anything back from you, God. I'm doing this with everything that's inside of me. Glory to God. You know, if you would be in hot pursuit of God like that, you got to know He is going to respond. And it may not be how you expect Him to respond. But just know this, if you draw nigh to God, we have the verse here, James 4:8, He's going to draw nigh to you. You give Him that attention, you give Him that centerpiece of your life, you're going to get His attention. Amen. Verse 10 again, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, look at the 11th verse here. Here's a verse that you probably have heard time and again. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I like that verse right there. Hiding his word in your heart, sowing his word, putting the word of God inside of you. There's just nothing like God's word. Nothing. There is nothing like the word of God. But you got to get it off these pages. And you got to get it inside of you. You have to do something in order to reap the benefits of his word. You've got to get the word inside of you, speaking his word. And that's covered in this chapter, speaking his word, say his word. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. See, when he's talking about the word again, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He says this over and over and over again throughout this chapter. I'll not forget thy word. I'll not forget it. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Go down to verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. See, that's another theme here throughout this 119th chapter. It's this idea of quickening. I looked up the word quickened, and it's to make alive, and the word quicken. So you have the past tense, quickened, and you have the present tense, quicken. The word quickened in the 119th, chapter 119, is found two different times. The word quicken is found 9 times. Quicken thou me according to thy word is in verse 25. Quicken thou me in thy way. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. See, he's giving us something very important here. The things that will happen as the word of God goes inside of a person. Hallelujah. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I think at times, and as I went through this chapter and read those verses talking about the whole heart, I think at times we kind of get caught up in just doing the things that we know we need to do in order to do what we think is required of us spiritually. I don't know a better way of saying that. And as a result, what happens is we end up seemingly going through the motions. See, that's just religion. A true relationship with someone requires our attention, requires us to acknowledge that individual and to invest in that relationship. You know, not just go through the motions. You know, for example, a husband and a wife, their relationship isn't going to get very, very far off the ground if one of them is saying, okay, I have 20 minutes here to spend with you, so okay, let's sit down 20 minutes. You talk to me, well, and I'll talk to you, and then when that 20 minutes is up, you know, it's over with. You know, go about our business, do everything else. But that, you know, watch the clock, 20 minutes and that's it. See, what kind of a relationship is that? That is so mechanical. And yet that's how many of us have approached Christianity. We are regimented about it. We're going to read one chapter a day, and I'm going to pray for this many minutes. And none of that's bad unless you have allowed the mechanics of it to be the sum total of your relationship with God. Now you got a problem. If the mechanical time that you've established and how many chapters you read, if that's the sum total of your relationship, where is the talking to Him? I wrote a little note and put it on my desk to remind me of this. That, it's not, we're not talking to God. That's a one-way street. We need to be talking with God. That's two-way communication. You talk, He listens. He talks, you listen. Mark, are you good at that? Well, I'm like anybody else. I'll fall into that trap of the mechanics of doing something and miss out on the relationships. It's like two completely different worlds. The mechanics of it versus the relationship. You have these mechanics, these ideas that, I'm going to do this regiment. And this is my relationship with God, this regiment here. You don't make friends that way. You don't have a successful marriage that way. Why is it that we approach God that way? It doesn't fit, does it? Let's look at a few more verses. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Let's read the 49th verse with that. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. See, you have to read that together and you kind of see the picture. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. What caused him to hope? The word. It was the word. This is my comfort in my affliction. What is his comfort? It is the word of God. In his affliction, he turned to the word. You see, the word of God will never change. It will always be the same. Always. When you open the Bible to John 3:16, it always says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank God, it will never change. God has given us his word. And if we will turn to his word, look at it, feed on it, meditate on it, it will change us. Glory to God. And it'll create a desire for more of the things of God. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. See, again, with the whole heart. That doesn't say with, you know, just with a little fraction of my heart, just a little bit, just enough to get by, God. That's all I'm really after. Just a little bit. No. See, that's not what God is after at all. He wants our whole heart. He wants all of us. And our problem is we're looking for how little that we have to give away. And he wants everything. He's bought us. We are purchased possessions of his. We don't look at it like that enough. We belong to him. All right, so let's go back here. Look at verse 68. I really appreciate verse 68. Thou art good. Well, I just like that right there. Thou art good. What is he saying? God, you are good. You're good. He is a good God. And doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God, you're good. Well, we could just meditate on that statement right there. God, you are good. You are good. So many people, they attribute the bad things that happened to them that it was God's will. Baloney. God is good. He is good. And he does good. You know, the car crashes, the sicknesses, none of that's God. He's a good God. And he loves us. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts. I'll keep them with part of my heart. Just a little bit. No. I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Go over to verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. See, I'll meditate in the word. I'll allow that word to go inside of me and to change me, change the way I think, change the ideas that I have. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This, to me, is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Forever, God, thy word is settled. Why do we have such great hope in God's word? It's settled. It is not changing. He's not going to change his mind tomorrow and say, well, you know, I really didn't mean any of that. No. You know, John 3:16, Mark 11:23 and 24, these verses mean as much today, are as true today as they were the instant they were said and written down. They have not changed because God has not changed and he will never change. And that is the source of the hope that we have, is that God cannot change. His word cannot change. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Here again is another reference to the idea of being quickened. Verse 105, excellent verse. Another verse that I'm sure that you have heard this verse for years. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is thy word? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, the Word coming inside of you illuminates you. It gives you the understanding of where to walk. It gives you the understanding of what to do. It's a light that comes and it shines and it gives us direction. And I'm not talking about, like a word of prophecy. I'm talking about the written Word of God. And why is that? It's because the Word of God is a living substance. It's not just words on a page. Praise God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at verse 108. Except I beseech thee the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The free will offerings of my mouth, the free will offerings. You know, to me that could speak of the free will offerings of worship. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Jesus. It could also be speaking of the confessions of our mouth in line with God's word. Amen. Verse 114. Look at this, a wonderful verse. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. This should give us great comfort. I hope in thy word. Here's my hope, God, in your word. You are my shield. You are my hiding place, God. I run to you. You protect me. You're my shield. You're my hiding place. Praise God. Here's another great verse, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of thy words. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, a light unto thy path. The entrance of thy word gives light. There's understanding that comes as we continue to sow his word. The light that shines, it illuminates the path that we're to walk in. Glory to God. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. Not in somebody coming and just prophesying over me. I'm talking about the written word of God. Hallelujah. Verse 145. I cried with my whole heart. Here again is another reference of the whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. Verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. And here we come towards the end, and you can see the idea of quickening. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Praise God. What an awesome verse. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Hallelujah. See, that's the way that we need to approach the Word of God. With that kind of intensity, with that kind of hunger. Because if we will approach it that way, what will happen is you are going to cultivate a greater desire for the things of God. You're going to cultivate this hunger for more of Him. And as you do that, it's like this. It's like, here's a good analogy. You know that snowball that starts at the top and it's small, and as it rolls, it gets bigger and bigger. That's what this will do for us. More of His Word going inside, it's like that snowball going downhill. The more you are in His Word, the more that you're going to want to be in His Word. Hallelujah. Looking for opportunities during your day to just get a little bit more of His Word inside of you. Turn off something that was just white noise, and turn on maybe the Scriptures and let the Word of God get inside of you. Hallelujah. Verse 165, great peace, excuse me, have they which love thy law, great peace. Do you want great peace? Or do you want to be in turmoil? Which one do you want? Great peace have they which love thy law, that's the Word, and nothing shall offend them. Verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Verse 171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. For 172, my tongue shall speak of thy words. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Glory to God. See, this is what God expects out of His children. To take His word, to believe His word, to put His word inside of us, to allow His word to affect the way we think, to create a hope on the inside of us. See, all these things are the fruit of spending time with God, spending time in His word, getting His word off of those pages and into our heart. See, this is what God expects. This is what he's desires of for us. But it's our decision. It's up to us to take the initiative and to open the Word, to look at the Word, to get the Word inside of us. It's up to us. He won't do it for us. And we can't expect somebody else to do this for us. Each one of us have a responsibility. It's up to us to be responsible believers, responsible children of God, to feed ourselves with the Word and allow that Word to grow and more of a desire to grow within us for the things of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Word that You have given us to sow into our hearts, a Word that will never change. It'll never change, ever. And it gives us such great hope and assurance, knowing that what You have said in Your Word, that You will uphold it from now on, and You will not change. Thank You, God. Father, I pray for every person that will ever hear this message, that they will purpose in their heart to simply get the Word inside of them and that your word in them will create a hunger for more of your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.